from the very beginning, the followers of Jesus handed on from one generation to the next the Christian faith, but also the tradition of where in Jerusalem the various events of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, his earthly ministry, where those things took place. Tradition especially identified the sites where Jesus was crucified, where he was buried, and where he was raised from the dead. In the year 313, the Roman Emperor Constantine won a decisive military victory that he attributed to God's favor and God's intervention. And so in thanksgiving to God, the emperor ended the persecution of Christians. No longer did the church have to hide in private homes for fear of the Roman authorities, but could actually be out in public, could build public buildings for worship. In thanksgiving for this military victory, the Emperor Constantine himself undertook a building project in Jerusalem on those sites that tradition said were associated with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection on Golgotha. During excavation work to build this project, it is said that Constantine's mother Helena found the true cross of Jesus there in the soil. On that site, a great church, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, was built. And the remains of the cross of Jesus were placed in this church. And on September 14th, in the year 335, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre was dedicated. That day, September 14th, has, since that time, so many years ago, been observed as Holy Cross Day. It is that very feast that we celebrate today, so many centuries removed from that time. We have in our calendar 2 days dedicated to the cross, Good Friday and Holy Cross Day. And both commemorate the cross, but in different ways. On Good Friday, the focus is on the passion of Jesus, on his terrible suffering, his death on the cross, and on the evils that humanity perpetuates, the evils that place him on the cross. But on Holy Cross Day, we focus less on the passion and suffering of Jesus and more on the cross itself, on the victory of the cross, of how the cross is an awful instrument of capital punishment. It was used by the Roman Empire to punish insurrectionists. How that terrible instrument becomes for us the instrument of our salvation. On Holy Cross Day, we commemorate the victory that Jesus won for us on the cross. How the cross is the means by which we are set free from the power of sin and evil and death. Following Jesus the Redeemer, the cross is for us central. We hear that in our collect of the day that we just prayed, where it says, Almighty God, whose most dear Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, was lifted high upon the cross, that he might draw the whole world to himself. Mercifully grant that we, who glory in the mystery of our redemption, may have grace to take up our cross and follow him. As the collect makes clear, our call is to follow Jesus by taking up our cross. This journey is costly. It requires that we relinquish our will and hand it over to God's will. It calls us to offer ourselves in loving service, especially by caring for the least, the marginalized. Through the cross, the promise is that Jesus draws all humanity to himself, lifting us above the sin, the brokenness of this world, gathering us to himself, inviting us to share in his victory on the cross. And of course, the cross gives great meaning to all suffering, to all who experience pain. The cross assures us that Jesus walks with us in these trials. We are a parish dedicated to Jesus the Redeemer, and so we celebrate Holy Cross Day as our feast of title. That's a fancy way of saying it's like a parish dedicated to a saint who celebrates the parish on the Saint's Day. But we're not dedicated to a saint. We're dedicated to Jesus, our Redeemer. We affectionately call our celebration Redeemer Day, and I think it's a time for us to give thanks for the many blessings that God has generously bestowed on this parish. It's a day for us to give thanks for the mission and the ministry that God has entrusted to us. And it's a time to ask what God might be calling us to undertake, to discern where God is leading us. This is a day, though, not only to look to the future, but it's also a day to remember our past, to tell the stories of our founding, of our history. It's time to gather and tell our story, giving thanks for the faithfulness, the courage, and the vision of those who have gone before us in this parish, remembering with grateful hearts our ancestors in the faith. As I think about our story as our parish, about our parish history, I see two particular themes. One is daring to follow God's call, even when doing so feels risky. And the other is a strong, unwavering commitment to the inclusion of all people that continues to be at the heart of this parish's identity. Back in 1859, when this parish was founded, there was already a commitment to welcoming all people. As some of you know, in that era, churches supported themselves financially by renting their pews. You paid rent, you got a seat. That meant, though, that those without financial means did not have a seat. They didn't have a place to sit to attend church. We were the first church in this state of any denomination to do away with that practice, to abolish all pew rent, so that from the time of our founding, everyone could attend regardless of financial ability. We were the first parish to turn instead to soliciting donations, asking people to give for the financial support of the parish. And that was a brand new practice in the mid-19th century. We see throughout our history this commitment to welcome. This parish has been committed to the full inclusion and participation of women, of members of the LGBTQ community, in the Episcopal Church's leadership and clergy, as well as in parish life. And more recently, we have committed ourselves to anti-racist work, actively seeking to educate ourselves and to work to dismantle systemic racial oppression, to fight white supremacy. The vestry has named anti-racist work as a priority for the parish, one that we continue to actively engage. These efforts are all rooted in God's call to welcome all people, as Jesus did in his own earthly life and ministry. They're rooted in the truth that all people, everyone, are beloved children of God, and that we are called to love as God loves us. We are called to welcome others just as Jesus welcomes us. We are to be agents of God's love and justice. Our parish history also reminds us of the bold actions that were taken to respond to God's call. One of the most dramatic I find in our story is the move here to Hope Street. Back in 1909, the parish heard God's call, the call to pick up and move. And so sold the first church on North Main Street, and then built this new church on Hope Street, moving here in 1917. I can't help but think this action was bold, and there was risk in it. But because it was God's call, the parish accepted it, and the parish has thrived in this new location. And we know this because we can see it in our history. But I think we also know it because we sit here today, more than a century later. Now, this is not to say life on Hope Street is always easy. Certainly, without pew rent, new funding streams were necessary, and you can see in our history rectors saying, folks, we need some money. And one of the big things that I think was not easy, though our history is silent about it, was another pandemic more than a century ago, the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918. Our history says nothing about what happened in that time, but I regularly wonder what was that experience 100 years ago. It came just after building this new building, moving here to Hope Street. I imagine it must have been a vulnerable time for this community. It must have been challenging. But I can only wonder. So while we may not know the impact of the pandemic, of that pandemic, on this parish, knowing the fact that the parish lived through it and continued for decades to come gives me great hope. This parish endured the heartache, the hardship of that pandemic, and carried on with God's work. I am confident that our ancestors in the faith continued to discern God's call to them, undertaking the hard work that they were given to do. We, of course, live in our own pandemic. This is our second Redeemer Day in pandemic time. It's an understatement to say that life has been very different since March 2020. We have been changed as individuals. This parish has been changed. And I don't think we yet understand fully the ways that we have been changed. But what I do believe, what I think is certain, is that God remains faithful, that God is sustaining us through this time of suffering, of death, of economic challenge, of injustice and dislocation. And as a parish, we have throughout this pandemic sought to hear God's call to us. We've embraced new ways of being church. I mean, here we are gathered on the lawn on this beautiful fall morning, almost fall morning. Here we are gathered by live stream with people from all over the world who see us. So we've sought new ways of being church. Recently, I was reminded of the very concrete ways that this parish has been so richly blessed, especially in this pandemic time. As you may have read in the parish record and may have heard, there's a liminal group who's talking about this in-between time, this time of dislocation, this time of uncertainty, but also this time of new things unfolding. And as we were talking at our recent meeting, we began to discuss the ways that God continues to be at work even now, even in this time. I found this exercise to be humbling. It was moving, and it made me proud to serve such a vibrant parish as this. I don't want to say too much, because in the coming weeks, the liminal group is going to share those reflections with you. But I hope when you hear those, they will also be moving and inspiring to you. They will instill and awaken hope in you. And they will, above all else, remind you that God is faithful, that God is certainly at work, even now, in this pandemic. Like those who have gone before us in this parish, God calls us to holy work now. Like them, my hope and prayer is that we be attentive to God through prayer and deep listening, that we have the ability to let go of our understanding of the present, to embrace what new things God might be calling us to do, that we might be able to accept the risk of where God is leading us, trusting God is faithful. For we stand upon the strong foundation of that was laid by our ancestors in this parish. And so may we risk everything for the sake of the gospel, never wavering from our commitment to welcome all people, never shrinking back from the holy risks God calls us to make, and never forget that God will give us all we need to answer this call. As Jesus urges in the gospel today, let us walk always in the light of Christ. For Jesus is the light the darkness will never overcome. The light of Christ can never be extinguished. And the forces even of sin and death are no match for the power of God's love. And so let us walk by that light, by the light of Christ. And may we gaze upon our neighbors through that light, seeing all with compassion, with generosity, and with love. And may we always boldly proclaim Jesus as our Redeemer, and always act in His name. Amen.